our last shiur on Malabing, and really it's a collection of different halachos that are related to the Gadim, as well as different zeros that are related atu Malabing, atu Tzchita, the fundamental gemaras of Malabing we've already done. Some fascinating sugyas. Sometimes the small sugyas are really, really, in of itself, very, very fascinating sugyas. So the first sugya, what we're going to discuss, the sugyas are Kipul Begadim. It's a mistake on the top, it should be, say, Be'inyin Kipul Begadim. The second, and then the other sugyas are the Gzeiros Midrabanan, cleaning one's hand on a beged that is clean and your hands are dirty. Washing, more precisely, drying cups, hanging begadim, and then we'll also have an interesting question about Seir Behema, wiping one's hands on Seir Behema. Let's Be'ez Hashem begin the biggest of all those topics, and that's in Sif Gimel in Shin Beis, and let's take a look at the Mishnah and Gemara. Now, this is a very mysterious sugya. The Mishnah tells us on the Kuf Yigimel Mera'alef Mechatlin Es Hakelim Afilu Arbal Dechamishim Palmim. One is allowed to fold one's utensils, even, and here utensils mean one's clothing, even four or five times. Matzien Es Hamitos Milele Shabbos LeShabbos. And you're allowed to make the bed from when on Friday night for Shabbos morning. Avalom Mishabbos LeMetzoy Shabbos. But not for Shabbos to Matzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekablin Sakelim Matzines Hamitos Miyom Hakipurim LeShabbos. Rabbi Shmuel adds, though, from Yom Kippur to Shabbos is going to be okay. Says the Gemara, Ami Devei Rabbi Yana, Loi Shanu Ela Ba'adam Echad. This halacha that you're allowed to fold the garments, that's only if it's one person who's doing it. Avol Shnei Bnei Adam Loi. But if it's two people, so then, in such a case, it's problematic. Two people are problematic. And even one person who does it, it's only if the garments are new. I will be shun and blind, but if it's old, it's also awesome. Only if it's white. I will be tzvu and blind, but if it's color, it's also a problem. We're only talking about where you don't have any other clothing. I will yeshua lahachlif light. But if you have other clothing, then it's going to be awesome. So we have a bunch of conditions, four different conditions in the Gemara. The only time it's going to be mutter is it's going to be one person, new garments, white, and you don't have any other clothing. Otherwise, it's going to be aser. Okay, those are the four conditions in the Gemara. Now, the obvious, the $64,000 question over here is, what exactly is the Isser Mekaplan? So Rashi's words are very, very meduyak. So Rashi on the Mishnah says, Mekaplin es hakelim, begodin kishaposhtin, when you take off clothing, Mekaplin mipneisha misrachakon mikibusam, you fold them. Why? Because they become soft during laundering, umiskamtin kishaino mikupolo, and they become creased if you don't fold them. Okay, so Rashi's focusing on the creases over here. And Rashi and Dibra Masel, I'm intentionally not going to read Rashi very precisely. Shortly we will. I read the first Rashi precisely. I'm intentionally not reading the second one precisely. Rashi and Dibra Masel, Mishnei B'nei Adam, says that the problem is veneering kimisaknin. It looks like you're doing tikkun. And what's the difference between old and new? Says Rashi, Yishanim. If we're talking about old that we learned is aser, kipula misakni yosem hachadoshim, they fold better. Shahachadoshim kashin me'alein, the new ones are hard. Ve'eim emarin likmot, and they don't crease easily. So the whole idea over here is to prevent creases. That's why the person is folding. And znirik misakin, and it appears as if you're doing tikkun. We wouldn't learn this way if this is morning Seder, but in afternoon Seder, it might be very gishmak to go straight from that reading a Rashi. We'll go back to morning Seder in about 15 minutes. We'll go to a Raivon. But right now, we'll learn for a while, I'll leave with the Hilchasa, and then read Rashi very meduyak, and later on, we'll maybe get the other Lamdashev implications in the Rishon. Let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mechaber says in Shin Beis Gimel, Mekaplin Kalim B'Shabes Atzer Shabes Alosh Lam Bo Vayom, and he gives us all these conditions and any quotes Yeshomer Mishom, which we'll discuss shortly. So he has a Din of Kippur. So the Mishnah Berurah over here has a comment. Dim Ein Mekaplin, if you don't fold them, Rikilim Shemiskamtin, then they develop creases. And that's exactly what we saw in Rashi Dibur HaMaskil Yishanim. We saw that on Rashi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Rav Nevinzal asked a very simple kasha on this. It's in the Yitzchak Yikare. And I think his answer to this question is really meduyik if you read Rashi very carefully. And that is, what iser is there? Rashi's clearly saying that's a tikkun mana midrabana. So he asks, what type of iser tikkun mana midrabana is there if you're preventing something? To prevent something from happening, how could that be called a malacha? It's not even a grama. It's less than a grama. What exactly is Rashi referring to? He asks, Kasha, maha isur v'minias kilkul. What's the problem of minias kilkul? And he answers, Ela kinira shakipul ulasis chasim ibnei hakimut. The way I understood this is that what kipul does is that kipul itself, the folding itself, removes the creases. The Rashi is learning that the Rav Nevinzal says that Shana Mishnah Berurah means that when you fold, it removes creases. So you're actually doing tikkun mana midrabanan. It's not manish tikkun mana. Tikkun mana is when you change the object, but it's midrabanan. Rashi's words are nearer misaknin. I'd like to point out that every word I think in Rashi is meduyah. Rashi in Mekaplin Esakelim, there he's explaining the sheet of the Mishnah that says that's mutter. So Rashi says, what's his motivation? Rashi says exactly that way. Rashi says, Mekaplin of Nesha Misrachim Bikubusa, the garment has gotten soft, umeskamtin, and it will crease kishenu mikupalim. So then the halach is mikaplin. Then the halach is that you're allowed to. Why? Because it's only minyasa kilkul. Now let's read the Rashi better. The first Rashi on the Gemara. Bishnei bnei adam, if two people do it as opposed to one. So Rashi says, kishen mikaplin o son, when they fold it, mifashtin kintimeyam, they flatten out the creases. In other words, Einachanami, if all you're doing is a minyas hakilkul, so then in such a case it's going to be fine. But over here, what's the difference between one person and two people? As you know, two people could do it much more precisely than one person. And since two people could do it more precisely, so then it's going to fall into the trap of that Isser Darabbanan. So Rashi's words fit very well with this Havana. So that's going to be Rashi's understanding of the Isser. Now, Tesis clearly did not learn this way. Take a look at Tesis Mekaplin. I forgot to put Tesis on the outline. Tesis in the Ramaskal Mekaplin Kain, just on the email. Tesis in the Ramaskal Mekaplin Kain says, Mikan lamadnu di iser kipo taliso shal beis hakneses lefi shem tzarech machar. Tesis introduces an entirely different issue. Tesis introduces the issue of tzarech machar, that the chashash over here is that he's doing it for tomorrow. So it seems like, from Tosas, that Tosas learns that the whole chashash is one of hachana the issue of tircha. And what will come out is that Rashi and Tosas will learn the Gemara entirely differently. Each one is going to have strengths of the way they learn the Gemara, and each one are going to have weaknesses. Because neither of the pshatim, neither of the conditions of the Gemara, fit well with either of the pshatim entirely. In other words, some of the conditions that we add in the Gemara fits well in terms of tikkun mana midrabanan, and some of the suggestions of the Gemara fit better in regards to tircha. For example, the chiluk between two people and one person, that, l'chura, Rashi has a smooth pshat, that the kippul comes out better. But if we're talking about l'hachlif, that whether he has garments to change or not, why should it make a difference of whether it's tikkun mana midrabanan? So let me tell you how you have to learn the Gemara the whole way according to Rashi, and then how we'll have to learn Tosas, and then we'll see that in the Rambam we'll also have to learn very similar to what we just said in Rashi. According to Rashi, what emerges is as follows. The first condition about two people versus one person is in regards to the quality of the tikkun. The second, also, Yishanim versus Chadashim, Rashi explained, is that the Chadashim don't get as wrinkled, and therefore there's less of a need to be mekapel. And then Rashi, then the Gemara says, "V'lo amar and elisha ain lo lahachlif, avol yeshal lahachlif lo." This is really difficult according to Rashi. Why should it make a difference whether you have either it's aser or it's mutter? So why would it make a difference? So the answer must be that since we're talking about a din d'rabbanan, a takana d'rabbanan, and it's only nirakim esafkein, so Chazal only made the takana according to Rashi if you do have other clothing. But if you don't have other clothing, so then even though ostensibly that's aser, nevertheless, ostensibly it should be aser, but Chazal never made the takana. That's going to be how Rashi will learn all the conditions of the Gemara. How will Tosas learn all the conditions of the Gemara? So Tosas will learn all the conditions as follows. He will learn that one person versus two people, you ever, when you're at home, Shabbos, folding up the tablecloth, it's a lot easier if you have two people that are there to fold up the tablecloth as opposed to one. So two people is going to be less of a tirchas. So one person is going to be usher, two people not. Similarly, you're going to have to say that chadashim are more easily folded than svum. That's a little bit difficult. Both of those parts are difficult, but l'chura, that's how you're going to have to learn if Tosis is learning the whole way in, as tircha. Okay? Yeah. Yes?
I'm sorry if I missed it, but where did you get the Tosis tircha?
Tosis says, mikan lamandu. What's the mikan? According to Rashi, what's mikan? If the whole...
Mikablan, meaning it's a heter... It's mekablan kele mechule, right? The whole Mishnah says you're allowed to fold your talus if the following conditions are met.
Right.
Tosas is saying, here's a practical mice application.
Nah, that would be difficult, Ravelli. Tosas should have spoken about many, he could have made that point anywhere. The fact that Tosas says mikan lamadnu sounds like a Tosas understands that the reason why it's going to be mutter is because it's Letzora Shabbos. And in the instances that the Gemara is about to say that's aser, is because that's not Letzarach Shabbos.
Right.
Okay.
But I didn't get how that means tircha.
What's that?
I didn't get how that leads to tircha.
No, Tzorach Shabbos, what is the requirement, what is the nature of the Isra of Hachana? The nature of the Isra of Hachana is some type of tircha. You're not allowed, tircha here, when I say tircha, I mean you're being involved, you're being matriach yourself on something that's not Letzarach Shabbos.
It's not like tircha yaseira, like extra word. No, it just means...
It just, that becomes tircha. Hachana really is tircha yaseira. Hachana is a form of tircha yaseira. You probably, in Lomdus, you could probably formulate in slightly different ways, but that's the fundamental.
So every time you're saying tircha, you really mean hachana. Meaning in terms of tosos. And she just tosos says
correct,
you can't do
correct.
It as hachana.
The reason I'm using the word tircha is that's going to be the Raiviv's word. That's the Raiviv's words, and I'm trying to keep things in the minimal amount of categories. But if you feel that it's going to be different than the Ravid, in other words, if you'll see the Ravid shortly. We're going to get to the Ravid. We'll, yeah?
I don't understand the difference between one and two people for Tosos. I thought two people is more problematic. So if two people is less...
No.
According to the way you explained Tosos, made it sound like one person is more problematic. That's more of a tearful.
You're right, Dudley. I said it backwards. Because the Gemara said, Lo shanu ela ba'adam echad, that if we're talking about one person, the halacha is that's mutter, avol shnei be'adam, it's going to be aser. Right. So you'll have to say, I said it backwards, thank you for stopping me. Shnei be'adam is going to be a greater tircha than adam echad. Correct. My example of tablecloth, I have to change. Mm-hmm. Thank you, you're 100% right.
And if we're associating tircha and achana, why would it matter the extent of the tircha? Like if we normally think of achana as doing something unnecessary.
That's exactly why I'm putting the two together. Hachana and Tircha are really two sides of the same coin.
Right, but why would it matter, like for Tosfos, the difference between one and two people? Like once you're doing something that's not for Shabbos, then it shouldn't matter how big of a thing that is.
No, we're not talking about when he's not doing it for Shabbos. Here he's doing it, here it's even Letzarach Shabbos, nevertheless, if it's two people, then it's already a Tircha Gedola.
Uh-huh.
That's how he's going
to
learn.
But then there's nothing to do with it.
You're 100% right. The two people, let me just rephrase, my tablecloth example wasn't so good. Let me reframe that example. The example would be that when you do with two people, you expect that you're going to get a good result. So then, in such a case, then the people are matriach more. In contrast, when one person is doing it, he does it more casually, and therefore it's less tirfa. Or for that matter, even involving somebody else would be more tirfa. Yeah. Maybe we'll see the Rambam arrive, and maybe that will help. Yeah.
I mean, can you say prakir that when you have two people that it's easier to do anything than you have one person, it's much harder?
Right. And in the time of Chazal, it wasn't that way. What I said is incorrect. Yeah.
The pshat why one person or two people, why it would be less tircha, why don't we say it's because it means something that you're able to do through one person, so that's less tircha than something that you require another person to do it.
It's simply by adding more manpower to...
No, it's just Megdala that it needs more work.
It shows that.
Meaning, something that you could do for one person, that's fine. That's a hefter.
But something
that
needs
two people to do... That's a lot more of a
tircha.
Okay. I mean, Anami right now, when you have a second person, it might be the same as if you're doing it yourself.
Right.
It's something that requires more work.
Yefe. Okay. That's interesting shot. I actually did not see... All I have is what I have in front of us in Rashi. I didn't see anything more than that. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the Rambam. There's a fascinating Rambam here. The Rambam in Perek Chav Beis, Halacha Chav Beis, and the Rambam in Chav Gimel Zayin discusses both of our halachas. So Rambam, in the second half of Halacha Chav Beis, writes the following. Now, here the Rambam divides the case of the Katlin Kalin and Matzian Mitas. And the Rambam puts them in separate halachos, but nevertheless ascribes to them the same chash as Rashi. It says around halfway through, V'chein ein mekatan avdam b'shavs k'der shosan b'chol v'gadim k'ishi kapsu osan. V'im lo ayilo kli acher l'achlif omut l'kof v'chul pashu osasos k'dei shi yisno bo b'shavs. V'yuhu shi yabeg echadosh v'lovan shereyu mismayay u'mislach lech miyad. V'kishi yikapel lo yikapel l'ish efad avol kapel b'shnayim osar. So the Rambam has this din. But interestingly, the Rambam doesn't tell us what the Tam HaIsur is. He doesn't tell us over here in Chav Beis. However, if you take a look in Chav Gimel Zayin, there the Rambam brings down the Din of Matzian Mitos. And the Rambam says, V'ein Matzian HaSamitos B'Shabbos K'dei Lishon Aleim L'Matzai Shabbos, Avon Matzian Milei LeShabbos LeShabbos. Now, what was the Rambam talking about there in Halacha Zayin? The Rambam there is talking about Tikkun Mana Midrabana. Rambam there is talking about Tikkun Mana Midrabana. So there, and also in Chav Beis, in the beginning, the Rambam says, Asla Sakin Beis Yakshel Begadim, Keder Shem Sakin Bechol, Bechein Eim Kaplan Begadim. So the Pashtus of the Rambam is that the Rambam is going like Shitas Rashi, that where the Chash is Tikkun Mana Midrabana. Comes along the Ravid over there in Chav Gimel Zayin, and the Ravid says, "Amar Avram kol ze eino asur ela lefnei shu tareach l'chol." The Ravid says all of these things are asur because of tircha b'chol. Now the Aruch HaShulchan makes a leap, and he says he assumes that what the Rambam and Ravid are arguing about is the same issue they're going to disagree with about as well in Perek Chav Beis, and that is that the Rambam holds that over here the isur is tikkun kli, while the Ravid is going to learn that the issue is tircha. In fact, what came out was a tremendous chiddush from this Aruch HaShulchan, is that the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll see it shortly. I want to do it inside. All right. Well, you know what? The chiddush I'll share with you shortly. So that is the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns. Interestingly, the Tosis Yom Tif has an interesting take on the Rambam. That's more lahagdil Torah la'adira. It's not really used much lahalacha. But if you take a look at the Tosas Yomtiv in Tezayin Gimel, Dimar Maskel Mekamplin Esakevin, there on the next page, he suggests, V'ulai Nami Shesovim, at the end of Dimar Maskel Mekamplin Esakevin, says, V'ulai Nami Shesovim Sheasar Chacham Etam Gzera Shema Yovo Lidei Kibus, Im Natir Advar Mabon Maasais Lidei Kibus. Why did the Rambam put them? As I mentioned before, the Rambam has them in two different categories, one in Perek Chav Beis and the other in Perek Chav Gimel. So the Tosas Yom Tov suggests that over here in Halacha Chav Beis, the Rambam was talking about Isurei Midrabanan of things that resemble kibbutz. The Rambam doesn't spell out. I had assumed from the Aruch HaShulchan that the Rambam spells out that this is Tikkun Mana. But the Rambam really never says that. And if you look at the Rambam's examples of Chaf, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, the Rambam there really is all talking about Kibbutz Midrabbanan. So the Tosis Yom Tov suggests that the Rambam will learn that it's prohibited to fold because that's the last thing you do after you do the laundry. The last thing you do after you do the laundry is you fold the laundry. So it's Gzeira Midrabbanan Atu Kibbutz. If we're going to allow people to fold the laundry, so then they're going to come to do Kibbutz. Now, again, that will explain very nicely why the Rambam put these two halachos in different prakim. One in Chav Beis and one in Chav Gimel. Clearly in Chav Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan is right. The Rambam is closer to Rashi. But it could be that there is Tzvei Dinim in the Rambam. And Chav Beis, the halach of Kippel, is not a Tikkun Manim Mid Rabbanim. That doesn't get much attention in the standard Svarim. If you look at the Mishneh Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, we're going to see that they focus on these two issues. They focus on two issues that when it comes to any Shaila of Kippel and Matzim and Samitos, the two questions you need to ask is Tikkun Manim Mid Rabbanim or Tircha. But maybe the Emes and the Rambam might be a little bit more complicated, that there might be two chashos, and Kippel might be a din of Kibbutz. Okay, that's this Taisis Yom Tov. Now, comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, and he says he thinks there are many nafkaminas between this Rambam and Ravid, and he runs with this out of Kedarko of the Kodesh. The Aruch HaShulchan creates neat categories, in other words, neat conceptual categories, and he's not afraid to be masik shmeitzali with the hilchos al hetera based on his neat categories. He's ready to run. So let's follow this beautiful Aruch HaShulchan, and then, of course, we'll have to see how the Mishneh Berurah fits into all of this. So he quotes the Rambam in Shin Beis Yud, Aruch HaShulchan does. And then he says, in Yud Aleph, he says, the dinzek kasu aramim per chav gimel dinzayin. He doesn't stop at the fact that chav beis and chav gimel are different places. V'gam sham bir atamet neshum gimisakein. There also, he says, misakein. Where I'm not sure exactly where, why he thinks it's muchrof that chav beis was tikkun manim, but that's what he does. But right because of nishum neshum at kriach lechal, and the Rambam disagrees because of tircha. Yud aleph v'yesh nafkaminu dina bein atamim. And now the Aruch HaShulchan develops nafkamina. Still, our Rambam the less late tircha mutalik bo beged bekipul pashur chein bo tikkun kliyach lechol. According to Rambam, says Aruch HaShulchan, no problem to fold for the weekday. No problem. L'arayvid also mitam tircha b'shav zechol. The Yeroli l'arayvid nami hakam kapan kein also tzarchol afilu ein bo tam de misakin, and vice versa as well. The Ravid is going to say that there is an iser of tircha even if you're not going to be mitakin. Shareu zeu das ravasin balatosis. This is where Eliyahu I have support. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and that's what the balatosis says. Mikan lamanu shasa the kapel to lishur shabesa knesu fishein tzarach machar. So Aruch HaShulchan learned like me. By the way, I didn't remember that when I said that, but turns out he says it. Ubitalas kefianir lo shayech bikipula tikkun kli elo iser hu mishum tircha. So the Aruch HaShulchan makes these really black and white categories. If you the issue is tikkun kli, so then if there's no tikkun kli, you're not folding in a way that's tikkun kli, it's going to be mutter for the Rambam. So Rabbi Yosef and I almost fell out of our chairs. The Aruch HaShulchan, and I didn't notice this the last time I learned this with the guys, that the Aruch HaShulchan actually holds that preparing for the week is not usur according to the Rambam. I was like, what? Really? That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And in fact, we started looking into it, and there are many cases in Perek Chav Dalet of Matzilin Dvarim. I can't get into details now, but Matzilin Mipnei Adleika, and there you're only allowed to take Shalosh Su'udos, and if the Mashmos is it, the reason why you only take Shalosh Su'udos is only you're only allowed to take Litzarach Shabbos. Litzarach Chol is going to be also because of Tircha. So if you look up the Rambams in Perek Chav Dalet, actually what the Aruch HaShulchan is advancing might actually be Emes in the Rambam, that the Rambam there explains all those heterim, those restrictions, because he might be bohul and he might come to put out the fire on Shabbos. But the Rambam might, the Aruch HaShulchan might be right, that the Rambam won't have the iser of what we call achana, which was such a davar pashutas, that's aser. And the Mishneh Berurah takes as such a davar pashutas aser. In a moment we're going to see the Mishneh Berurah is the exact opposite of Aruch HaShulchan. The Mishneh Berurah just clumps everything together. And he puts it to one shul. The Aruch HaShulchan separating. And the Mishnah Berurah is going to put it all back together. But it's great to do it this way. First to see it with the Aruch HaShulchan's the two beautiful ways of Avodas Hashem. Velajim separating. And Mezhbish putting everything together. So even within the world of Halacha, you have that different style. So this is a great example. This Aruch HaShulchan Mishnah Berurah is a great methodological studies that Aruch HaShulchan Mamish separates them in different worlds. Mishnah Berurah is not going to mention Rambam. He's not going to mention Ravid. He's just going to put everything together. Yes.
The Rambam that Paskins that you shouldn't make the beds on Shabbos for Matzei Shabbos, that would, according to Aruch HaShulchan, that's not because of Achana.
That's right.
Also Tikkun Manah.
Right, and Taka it's Mukro. It's Taka Mukro. Perichol Gimel Halacha Zayin. There, the Rambam was talking all of the things he was talking about was Mipnei Nirisha Kimisakin. So he learns that these are all Nirisha Kimisakin. It's amazing. Okay, now the Aruch HaShulchan then goes. Now we're ready to Yesh Misha Omer. So it comes along. Let's follow the bouncing ball net in the best way possible. Comes along the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef calls the Mordechi because this Mordechi is important and misunderstood by many. I put it in the booklets for those of you who only brought a Gemara Rashi. So the Mardechi in Simin Shin Pei Ches says, in Shin Pei Zayin, he talks about Nishmatu Ritzuos, he's talking about fixing shoes. There it sounds like Tikkun Manah. And then he says Tikkun Manah. He says, Kasav Rav Yah, Shma Mina, De Taliso Shehen Levanim, She'ain tzarech b'kipul bo b'yom, achar tzeisan b'esek neses, lo shna chadashim, v'lo shna yishanim, asa l'kaplam afil v'odam echad. Our talesim, that you don't need for Shabbos, it's also default. V'han yimili b'seder kipula harishon. But it's only on the original folds. Then it's going to be, but if it's not on the original folds, then it's going to be mutter. So this is the famous line that we have in the Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Beis Gimel continues where we left off. There's a Yesh Misha Aimer that says that if you're not folding on the original lines, so then it's going to be mutter. So here we have a fundamental machlokis between the Mishnah Berurah, which is really based on the Gra, and the Aruch HaShulchan, how to understand the Mardechi. Is the Mardechi on the team of the Rambam and Rashi, or is he on the team of the Ravid? So the Mishnah Berurah is very, very clear. It says the Mishnah Berurah, "Mut in divar maslo mut b'chalini sifkav niyuches she'ein lekipul zeshum kiyum ve'ein kam esakin klav." The reason why it's mutter to fold, and this is halacha l'maisa, that you fold your, you don't have to fold your, you could fold your talis on Shabbos, even if you're not going to use it till after Shabbos, for that matter, for the next week. That's a separate question that Poskim, is it the same level of tircha of Shabbos l'chol or Shabbos l'Shabbos that we won't get involved with. It becomes a whole sugi by itself. But either way, assuming that it's usher if you're not going to use it that Shabbos, nevertheless, kipul is going to be mutter in this case because he's not misakin klal. U'fich mutter afilu ein bo echad me'ela adala pratim. And therefore it's mutter even if you don't have the four conditions. To have four conditions is almost impossible. So therefore, it says the Mishnah Berurah, it's going to be mutter if you don't fold on lines. And that's what many are knowing to do, that they don't fold their talesim on the lines based on this Mishnah Berurah. Where did the Mishnah Berurah get his understanding of the Mardechi from? No one less than the Gra. No one less than the Gra. One takes a look at the Gra, when he quotes this Deya, V'yeshmi, to call Hani Chilukim, Al korchach mishum misakin. Ugamashikas of Rashi says the Gra is not afraid of anybody, and the Gra says everything that the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with is a shash of tikkun manah. He pins it on Rashi, and we saw that that seems to be the Shitas HaRambam as well. So according to the Gra, that's what's going on here. The Mishnah Berurah, of course, wrote the Sefer Mishnah Berurah. One of the main reasons was that the Bar Hetev had not incorporated the Gra. And we're going to see that the Mishnah Berurah, even without quoting the Gra, will learn the whole Sif this way as we go through the Sifim Ketanim. However, the Aruch HaShulchan does not... Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that Aruch HaShulchan put Tosfos in the Ravitz team, but I still am not so convinced, because you could just read Tosfos and... Maybe we can talk about this later also if you want, but we're right. Saying Mikan Lamadnu.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
That's what I've been the Gra saying. It's all one. It's just one Ravid versus the whole world.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. The Gra is you don't have to convince me about the... I remember that when I learned this, I also was bothered by your Kasha as well. I think it's a decent point. I think it could go both ways. It would be morning Seder. We'd probably spend more time in trying to hammer that out. But I think it can go both ways, and definitely we could make afternoon Seder in the Beis Medrash too about it, 100%. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan though doesn't understand. Yes, David.
So are we allowed to pull that talisus in a different way?
Yes, you would be allowed to fold your talis not on the lines. And the reason that it's not even according to the opinion that it's tircha, it's normal when a person finishes with something to fold it up. So therefore, there's no problem. You don't need to leave it in a ball. You could fold it, and that's mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah.
So,
by the way, that's a question Mati Stern showed me. Mati Stern. Right, so Mati, 3 years ago, showed me there's a Shailos Uchuvas Marshag who says that anything that is the normal way you use it, and what you do is you put it away, you fold it up, that's not called Hatana. So that would be the Hatstuk of why a person can say, you should just have to drop it, you know. So, by the way, there are people that do that, right? There are people that just leave their talis, but it seems from the Mishnah Berurah it's not necessary, and Ramati found this... Shulis Marashah. Yeah.
Same thing applied to making your bed.
So we'll get to it. Let's see. I'm going to go through the Mishnah Berurah of Bli Neder, and if I don't discuss it, stop me. Okay? Yes.
By the talis, is it a problem if someone's okay with that as a permanent fold? I mean, like they're okay with it not being on the lines, like as a poise.
Right, because it's not kippul. And just putting something away is not called.
That wouldn't be a problem, even if after Shabbos, we'll fold it back on the lines.
No. By the way, this came up for me. I told the guys that so usually I would fold not on the lines, and then after Shabbos, put away. But now I leave my talis in Mishkafayim. So for a few weeks in a row, the Shabbos talis. And we didn't have minyan in the morning because of seger in the shul mishkafayim. They were having minyanim outside. So for like 4 weeks in a row, I hadn't folded my talis on the lines. So I can't. One ma'ariv, I noticed that. So I took my talis. I tried to fold on the lines, and the lines. I had a hard time finding the lines. Which then becomes the shadow tircha. Now it becomes the inverse shadow. It took me about 3-4 minutes to find. To find the line. So it does happen that when you stop folding on the lines, it becomes hard to find the lines.
And that's the only way you're folding it, and that becomes the new way to fold.
Right. No, that's but it, each time it was no, but it wasn't accurate. Yeah. No, it was on Shabbos, accurate. Okay, so let's take a look at Arshul. Yud Beis, Mardafi Kasa, he quotes the Mardafi, quoting the Rav Yoch. And then he says, Rabbeinu Abbeis Yosef Hevi Zebistif Gimel. But Kasa of the Hachim Mestavra. Now, he points out that the Beis Yosef likes this. So he says, the Aruch HaShulchan, he's into the Ravid, and he says, it's almost the exact opposite direction that Ravelli was going, and he puts everybody into the Ravid's world. So he says, the issue is, Tircha Shalom Letzarev. In other words, is it easier to fold your talis on the lines, or just to wrap your talis up? It's easier to just wrap your talis up. So the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that the Shiloh over here is a Shiloh of Tircha. So he says, Gamkin Yechnafkimim, and say the Gulos, the Gulofa, Mardachi Svirei, Gamkin Kain. And the Mardachi also hold this way. So I throw it out to you. Rabbi Yosef Penner thought that actually the Arka Shulchan's reading was a little bit more mukhrach in the Mardifi. I'm not sure. You look back in the Mardifi and you decide which way fits better into the Mardifi's words. But either way, the Arka Shulchan takes this chash as tircha as being the ikr. And he says, "Ubizmanenu yesh harbish mekaplan tasla saying b'shabis." Either many people today that even fold on their lines. Yeshlam this is of course a very important piece about Arka Shulchan that almost always it's matstick what the minhag ha'olam was in Europe, not in Middle America where there was a breakdown and people didn't have traditions. Where there is a tradition, but the Arka Shulchan was talking about in Europe where we had traditions that we were in one place and where the Arka Shulchan was writing there have been Jews straight, you know, who were shomer Torah mitzvahs for 600-700 years. V'yeshomer the sphere like the people shalom uleka shum tikun. So he says that our people on our talisos are not the own have tikun. It's a very strong argument. Why? Because the lines are already there. What's the Mishnah Berurah going to say? Mishnah Berurah is going to say you're strengthening the lines. And the Arka Shulchan doesn't hold that that's a chash. And he says, and we don't paskin like this chash of tircha. We don't paskin like this chash of tircha. And therefore, coming to your question, David, he says in Sifu Gimel, Sifkati Gimel, that's why there are people who are meikel about making their beds. He says, nowadays making the beds is not a problem. Tikkun mana. V'od yeshom eshatam shom danan svirle rak taima de misakein. Uvatso shalom lo mikri misakein. So he says, our beds, there's no tikkun. So the Aruch HaShulchan paskins lekula across the board. The Aruch HaShulchan, or he's matstick, the minhag olam not to fold, to fold even on the lines. He says that that's not really a tikkun, and even though those who are machmir because of tircha, he says, today we're mekel on tircha. Today we're mekel on tircha. And for the talis, it's really not that, you could argue that it's not that much of a tircha, and even if there is more of a tircha, nevertheless, we pass him on based on tikkun. So, Aruch HaShulchan does a lot of things kedarko b'kodesh. He creates the different categories. He's matzvik the minhag. He rejects one of the categories, lahalacha. He rejects one of the categories, lahalacha. And then he goes on to say that that is the hatzdaka in terms of making the bed. We're going to see that the Mishnah Berurah is not going to do any of that. The Mishnah Berurah is going to be choshesh for both. The Mishnah Berurah is going to learn like the Gra that the Shulchan Aruch is really passing the Chash as Tikkun Mana, but he's going to disagree with the idea that we could be Mekel on Tircha, and therefore every time the Mishnah Berurah is going to discuss the Halacha, he'll Cheshben both Tikkun Mana as well as Tircha. He's going to have a more stringent definition of Tikkun Mana, a more stringent approach to Tircha, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah's Mahalach is going to be different. Yes.
Just a basic question: where do we get this idea of folding on the lines? Meaning, the Mordechai use a lashon of "seit of kipul rishon," meaning
right.
First fold. Meaning,
right.
It could be that even according to Mordechai, as long as you just don't do that first fold, as long as you do it on the lines, that's totally fine. Even if
you want to define those words "kipul harishon" as not the crease.
No, I just never. Understood why.
Is that what you
should.
Mean by
that? Yeah, I just never understood why it's talking about the
right. Case. Who says, or Feigl suggesting, who says that that's called, that's the crease? Maybe.
Wait, so
how else would you define kipul
rishon? It's the first, meaning, you have two ways to fold your talus. I'm not an expert at folding talus.
Amir Sushan, right time. Yeah.
Meaning you have two ways. You can do it either vertically or horizontally. So
right.
Let's say normally you do it vertically, so now you do it horizontally.
No,
it's still on the crease.
On the crease.
It's just in a different way. It will come out differently, but you could still do it on the creases.
And how would that solve either Tikkun Mana or Tircha? To me, it sounds like it'll be more of a Tircha.
I mean, it'll probably just be annoying because it doesn't fold as well.
Right.
But that's any Meaning you just won't
take care of tikkun mana because it won't come out as well.
It won't come out as well, and
it's still the same.
At the end of the day, it sounds similar to Mishnah Berurah's the Mishnah Berurah, the Gruz Chashash. The way the Gruz Chashash, the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it, but I agree with you, it's a slightly different mitzvah. I was brainwashed by the Mishnah Berurah in a Kanan. If you could prove it differently, I'm definitely open to hear. Yes.
What were you saying? Okay. Meaning, in terms of tircha, it's probably more of a tircha to not fold on the creases. Meaning, you have to go out of your way to fold non. It's natural for you to fold the creases. If you're going to say it's the tircha,
yes and no. Yes, I understand why a person could look at it that way. No is if your man is just folding it randomly, so you just fold it randomly, then it doesn't come out very good.
No, I'm saying, when I fold on the crease, I'm like, oh, I get to like pull it back, and then like, oh.
It becomes a machlokas and mitzvahs. I hear what you're saying.
The way that Arach HaShulchan defines tircha by folding on the crease is because you're going to make sure, and you want to make sure it's all flat and everything.
Right.
So, meaning, that's the idea. That it's not necessarily just folding on the crease. It could be easier to find the fold and everything. It's more the idea that when you find this fold, you're going to try and make sure everything's
smoother,
and everything. Correct. That's going to take an extra minute.
Correct.
And that's why he holds this mindset and looks on the
butt. Yes, Ellen.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I spoke to Ben Benarch a little bit.
Okay.
And he commented that the word Rishon, definitely in Tanakh, and usually just an earlier, doesn't mean original, it means previous.
Uh-huh. Meaning, so, a previous...
In the previous fold.
It's not just
the first time it was folded. I don't know.
It sounds like Rishon being.
Because I was like, I mean, there are. I think
Rishon hu lachem.
Right. I'm trying to remember if it was in the Pini Halacha or not, but he comes out of Kula.
Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because let's do Mishura. But thank you. That point is that would be Doche Fibel Baha.
Just one question and understanding. Yes. Why are we making on Tirfah?
Who says we're Mekel?
But the Aruch HaShulchan said that...
Because the Aruch HaShulchan goes with this idea that the Rambam doesn't have the Chashash of Tircha, and he thinks that at least when it comes to Matzim Asamitos, that that's why you're allowed to make a bed, even though this purpose is only going to be for some.
So he's not saying we don't... We're just saying we pass on the Reb.
Correct.
Oh, sorry, we don't pass on the Reb.
We pass on the Rambam and Rashi. We're not choshish for the Raivid. Even though he associates, what he does is the other thing. He expands the Raivid to include the Mardukhi and to include Tosas, and then to say we don't pass the Raivid. That's what essentially he's done.
Right, so there's no issue of a Chan at all for the Raivid?
According to La Halacha. I leave you to do more research on. But definitely he says that as it's out to be made of Lemonsina Samitas. That's what he says, Black Lamont. Our shir was not on Hachanah. We would have to. Hachanah would require more time on our part. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. We're not even done with Kippur. Okay, so says the Mishnah Berurah. How do we paskin on this? So he says, first of all, in Sifkat Yigimel, v'lachein asa kapal atalis mikol makom kivan shein bedaita lisatef po asur im lo b'makom shenag lisatef betalisas b'mincha. So here, the Mishnah Berurah brings together two different things. The Mishnah Berurah, on the one hand, as we know, already we saw in Sifkat and Yud Beis, was concerned about the Tikkun Mana. In Sifkat and Yud Gimel, he says that the Chashash, you also have to be careful about the fact that you're going to use it on Shabbos. If you're not going to use it for Shabbos, for Mincha, so then it's going to be Asur. So here you have a paradox. On the one hand, the Mishnah Berurah follows the Gra the whole way, yet, the Mishnah Berurah, as Eli was thinking, is going to be choshesh for Hachana. So even if it's going to be mutter, al tzkipul for tikkun mana, you still have to worry about tircha. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah is going to carry through the whole sugya. The chiluk between Adam Echad and Shnei Bnei Adam, there he explains in terms of tikkun mana, yudalid, avalo b'shnei Adam, shundu b'shnayim ispashtin akmatim, v'nirikin esakin mana. With two, you fold it better, and it comes out to tikkun mana. The mekapel al sasol dina to mekapel b'shnayim. And he says quite a chumrah that if you do it on the bench, so then it's going to be considered like mekapel b'shnayim. Quite by the chumrah that comes out. Okay, so how does he say what one should do in terms of folding one's talis? So then he says, in Yutes, he quotes the Mardechi that says that you shouldn't fold it on the original folds. He says, "V'chein sasim achron l'dina, u'mekol makom mi sherotz l'achron l'atzmo shelo l'kapel klal v'aday adiv." So this is different. What this is different than what I told you from the Shuvas Marashah. He quotes the Machzis HaShekel, and that's why there are some people who don't fold at all, because the Machzis HaShekel says not to fold at all, because presumably he's going to be choshesh that there is a problem of tircha. And then he says, coming back to your question, David, in Sivkot and Yutes, Matzina samitis le Shabbos le Shabbos, v'chadchila yoser tov sheyetzia me'er Shabbos, avol ein matzia mi Shabbos matzoi Shabbos. Again, different than the Aruch HaShulchan, he says that you can't make your bed for after Shabbos. When we call makom, here you have a very, very important heter. Imamita imedes v'beisa v'udavar meguna u'bizayim l'Shabbos sheyama v'kach, mutel atzia demikri tzarech Shabbos. But if it's a Dover Meguno Bizayon, that his bed is not made, so then it would be considered Sarah Shabbos. This is a very, very important Sif Katan in the Mishnah Berurah, and that is, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, we passed that there is a Sarah Chana, not like what the Aruch HaShulchan had said in Sif Katan Yud Beis, extending Rashi and Rambam and Yud Gimel further and further. But we are Choshesh, according to Mishnah Berurah for Achana, but if it's disturbing, so then in such a case there is no Isser Achana. So you could use this heter in a very, very, very broad way. Any time that it's disturbing you or your wife or your children or anything like that, and you're cleaning up for that reason, even though it means that you'll be saved from something on Matzah Shabbos that you won't have to clean up, if it's disturbing somebody, then by definition, it's going to be motor. So that would be the nature of the heter.
One bedroom apartment in gross.
What's that?
One bedroom apartment in gross.
Absolutely, most definitely. And even if I would say like this, if for whatever reason you don't want to ask, a newly married man doesn't want to ask his bride whether she would want him to make his bed on Shabbos or not, then I would say that there's an umdin of the muchach that it disturbs. If it would be taken the wrong way, I would say that you could assume that it would disturb and to make one's bed on Shabbos. The shaila, of course, is that in a bachurim's apartment where they live very differently. So then that would be a different story.
It's really.
By the way, my wife likes to tell. My wife's grandmother likes to tell a beautiful story, very endearing story, that once upon a time, they used to be common for the Jews in Brooklyn to go up to the Catskills, and there the bungalows were very, very thin. So my wife's grandmother tells a story that one of her children was having a discussion with her newlywed daughter, and the neighbor had overheard her, and she had said to her, "Don't worry, he has other redeeming qualities." That's what my grandmother had said. So the neighbor overheard, so he asked, is this a real Hamish story? Is everything okay? So my grandmother burst out laughing. She said that her daughter had brought her over and showed her that her husband makes the bed beautifully and folds all of his pajamas and so on. In their house, they were a little bit more messy. So she said, "Don't worry, he has other redeeming qualities." That was Mamish Vinafla. So usually it's the opposite. Yeah. Okay. So we had a couple of great ones. The people that overhear each other. We had a couple of great jokes. I forgot them. Mamish and Halacha Mode, I forget the jokes. But I just remember the stories. Yeah.
For cleaning up Shabbos, it's messy towards the end of Shabbos.
Right. So if it would disturb anybody in the house, it would be mutter. But if a person knows that it doesn't disturb them, then it wouldn't be. It really depends. Different people are different. Some people clean up right away after they eat, and some people don't.
Okay.
We continue the minute from my grandmother's house. Yeah. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, are you sure it's so subjective that it's about individual disturbance? Or it's like, this is a halakha lamayit. Your halakha is supposed to clean your house for Shabbos. Your house should look
so
clean.
For sure, it's a violation.
But it's in the Magen Avraham, right? So if you're going to see your room and it looks messy,
right?
So
right, if it's a bizarre on the Shabbos,
right? It's not about you. I mean, right. If you're a bacher, you should clean up your room. Even, you know, you should take some mussar from this halacha and you make your bed on Shabbos.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wasn't talking about chassid bizarre on the Shabbos, but whatever the hagdara would be. Yes,
we extend this hagdara of mishra even to like the garbage, right? Meaning, if it's even the garbage could really be even
more
muksa.
Absolutely, that's a whole Mirtz Hashem. After Pesach, we'll discuss Muksa. Most definitely, could be connected. Rabbo said, "Hagdol Torah Ladira quickly," because it's really not lahalach. I found a Raivon that I was so happy with. So Raivon is mamish is reads the sugya differently than all of the above. Divrei Maslan Kaplan as Habegadim. So he says, "Avolol lechavlo Shabbos Acheres." I was shnayim emi kaplan daigdech meishir near to myself uman. Two, if you have two people do it, it looks like a ma'aseh. So there, it's near a kamesakin. And then he says, "I will yishan and lo v'kipula." If it's old, then folding is aser. Mashalu kechadasha mintsushu melacha. So the Raivan is to have three dinim in our sugya. Each one of the conditions, according to the Raivan, is going to be a different chash. When we're talking about chat yishanim, that can mamish be tikumana. That's going to be an issa daraisa. When you're talking about two people, so then it's going to be nirakim esakim. And then he goes on and he said, when yesh lahachlif, there he's talking about tircha. So the Raivan incorporates everything. The Raivan incorporates everything. All the other rishanim are going to have to fetch each one out of the matzik, and then I got stuck in Adi's problem. V'chule. The Raivan doesn't get it stuck into any problems. The Raivan goes, he says that Yishanim is Doraisa, two people is Nirakim is Sakin, and Lahachlif is in Hachana and Tircha. Fascinating Raivan that I was very excited about. Tov. Let's Rabosai go on to the next sif, and that the next sif, the assorted sif in Shin Beis is sif yud aleph. We're going to pick up with sif yud, the first part sif yud aleph, all the way at the end if we have time, because it's least lemaisa, and we pick up with the chash avolo b'mapa shemekan klam bo yadayim. The mechaber begins, someone whose hands, mishen safla yodo betit, a person's hands get dirty, he's allowed to wipe it off on the tail of an animal, avolo b'mapa, but not on a towel, shemekan klam bo yadayim, shelo yase kiderek shelo se b'chol. He shouldn't do it like the way they do in the week, v'yavo l'chabes ha-mapa. Now, interestingly, this is a Tosefta. Tosefta Yud Zayin Hey. So the Tosefta Yud Zayin Hey says exactly these words, and this also comes from the Rambam, except you minus three words. It ends Kedar Shuosa Bechol. And he doesn't say V'yavo L'chabes HaMapa. He doesn't say V'yavo L'chabes HaMapa. But you'll come to do Kibbutz on the Mapa. So where does this addition come from? So Rabbi Yosef was mechazing to something big. Rabbi Yosef just said to me, when I noticed the Tosefta, and these last three words come from the Rambam, so Rabbi Yosef said to me that the Rambam always says, when he always learns, Kedar Shavosa Bechol as a chshash of a malacha. But the Rambam doesn't have an independent category of Uvda Dechol most of the time, but the Rambam always learns it up to malacha. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. I started thinking cases and said, well, maybe you're right. And then it turns out that Yosef was mechaving to a Tshuva Sarambam. Where's this Tshuva Sarambam? The Gura quotes a Tshuva Sarambam. We didn't look it up, but the Gura quotes a Tshuva Sarambam in Sifkot and Yuda Aleph, Dibra Hamaschil, V'yavo, Bier B'tshuva. The mashik also the gemara shall yasein bechol the makom sheish kshash iser melacha. So the Rambam in Kaniret, this is in, I would imagine the Perador. So take a look. That's the name of the Tshuvas HaRambam. That the Rambam said there says that when the Gemara says that you shouldn't do the Echol, it's not simply in Tasha Mishabbos Raglach as an independent Isser for the Pasuk Yishayo, but it's a Chshash Isser Melachosus. Yosef was mechamin to what the Rambam himself says in the Tshuvas, and the only way we found it is we just happened to, the Gra happens to quote it. So that in itself is exciting. Okay, so that is the, wow, the Isser. That's really wild. Comes out, Rabosai, that we have an Isser of what? If your hands are dirty, you're not allowed to wipe on towel. Do you ever see anybody machmir for that? So, in terms of wiping our hands when we wash Netilas Yadayim, that's not going to be a problem, because you could argue that that's Derech Lichluch. That in the washing.
No, this is also Derech Lichluch.
Right, so what are you going to say? That what's the difference between the two things?
One's ten.
But, yeah, it's right, dirtier.
Correct, correct. That was the next step. But here you're talking about something that's really dirty. Then you might come to wash it. People don't come necessarily to wash the hand towel until after an extended period of time. I realized that it was serious right around Purim time when my wife bought different hand towels for everybody in the house. That was like, this is real. This is not... This corona is not stopped. So that's... But normally we don't have... We use hand towels until you could use it. I don't know when my wife decides when to wash it again, but, you know, it's used for an extended period. It's used for an extended period of time. Okay. So that's in regards to washing hands. But what about people being machmir? Did you ever see this? That people who are machmir not to wipe their dirty hands onto a towel. So, Garach HaShulchan's Mekel, even though the Mishnah Berurah says nothing in this regard, he doesn't have any heter. Garach HaShulchan's Mekel, Garach HaShulchan says that this was only in their times when they would wash things immediately after it became dirty. In those days, you only had one towel, you had one shirt, you had one pair of pants, and people would wash them often. By the way, just to appreciate what we have, who is it? Rav Shach describes that when he was a bachur in yeshiva, there were a lot of boys who only had one shirt, and so when they washed their shirts, they would learn in their room. They didn't go to the smedish. They would learn in their room without I guess their tzitzis, and that was it. They had one shirt. That's how it was once upon a time. Just to appreciate what we have. So those days, if your shirt got very dirty, so you would go to your room, you would wash the shirt, you would sit, you would learn in your tzitzis in your room, and then you would wait till the shirt was already dry, and then you would go back to the Beis Medrash. So then you immediately, if you had one towel, and the towel got dirty, so in such a case, you would be says already in the Aruch HaShulchan was in a better matzah, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you gather the things together, then in such a case, it would be fine. My grandfather learned, the Hasidim did, most of them didn't even have yeshivas. My grandfather learned in the Gerish Stiebel, and he slept on a bench, and the food that he ate was leftovers that people brought to, we're talking about my grandfather, we're not talking about 300 years ago. This was Pasimel Tochel Pshuto Kemashmo. Rav Weinberger describes that his father, when he came to America, couldn't believe when he saw that there were benches with backs. There's no such thing in Europe. There's no such thing as leaning back. No one leaned back. It's a different, entirely different way of living. So Aruch HaShulchan says if you're lucky that you have a few different towels, then it's not going to apply. The Akagah the Dirshu quotes Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, who says the same Svara. It's a Pella that they quote him from an obscure Sefer. It's Mufurish in the Aruch HaShulchan. Why the Dirshu didn't quote from the Aruch HaShulchan? We found that that's the Heter. So Kindumani that the Minigo Olam is to follow that Heter of the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes?
I don't know if it's a minhag olam as much as it is a, like no one does it nowadays. Who washes their dirty hands in a towel?
What happens?
Either you'd wash it in the sink and just dry in a regular towel, or you use like a wipe or something, or a paper towel or something. But no one's washing their dirty
hands. Wipes them out there. Soon wipes them out there. But yeah, so if a person's hands are really muddy...
Unless you have no access to water, you wouldn't do that.
Right. Most people wash their hands... Most people wash their hands in the sink, wash off the mud, and you don't really have that very often.
Yeah,
but in the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, it might have been more common. Because in Aruch HaShulchan's time, there was less water available, and there was no, most people weren't sinks, there wasn't plumbing. So then, in such a case, then Aruch HaShulchan's time. You're right, today it's Hamakaba. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, more Xeris, let's just rip through these things.
And napkins wouldn't be a problem.
Oh, so napkins are not a problem because you're not Mechabes afterwards, and that's also why it doesn't happen today. That's because many times people will just clean their hands on...
Like it's fancy napkins.
So fancy napkins get...
But no one has... But what do you say? Like, then you need the heter.
By the way, I was just grading the last couple of tests. I Baruch Hashem, finished the last two tests that I had sitting for a while ago. So everybody did very well. So I just reminded myself, as I was doing the sugi, the Einich Nam, that's dependent on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and others about whether Derech Lichluch is a problem with Soveya or not, if we're talking about coloring. But by dirt, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, let's keep on moving. It's still Chazal not to do all this stuff. These are interesting halachas that actually come up often. Sif Yud Beis. Mechaber says, "Asul nagid kol shoyi b'mayim o yain b'mapem mishum d'asul de'eschita." It's prohibited to dry because we're concerned you're going to come to squeeze out the towel. In other words, the towel is going to get so wet that you're going to come to squeeze it out. So again, this chash is very relative to time and place. And what's going to happen in the Mishnah Berurah is we're going to see that the Mishnah Berurah starts out more with chumrah. Again, in those days, if you didn't have a lot of towels, the towel would get very wet, and then there was a zera that was made for shechita. That's what Mishnah Berurah spells out in the beginning of the test. However, he quotes Mechulis Radvaz, Kosel in Niguf Kos Ukara the Olamein Zarmizel Ludina in Lachlish the Ein Dalut the Dafnekli Mayim Kol Kashi Ovid Shechita. Once upon a time, they were gathering up more water in the towel. Today, you're not. That's number one. Elam came Nagav of Kelim Harbe, and if you have many Kalim, though you would have it. However, he says, but that was in those days. Once upon a time, they used the same beged to do many different things. It would be used to clean oneself, to dry oneself. It would be used to clean the utensils. It would be used to clean off the table. So then, people would come lead eschita. But today, if you have a different hand towel, so then in such a case, you're less likely to come eschita. And just the Mishnah Berurah concludes, V'nir da'af l'nagri v'akelim harbe shari, v'mhoi yi asmart l'lach mitzad echa l'day nigu v'inagri v'mitzad echer. Today, even you'd be allowed to do a lot of utensils at once, and as long as it's the entire towel doesn't get wet. Once the entire towel is saturated, then we're afraid you're coming to sleep above. But what you could do is, you could dry on one side of the towel, even that becomes very wet, then just switch to the other side of the towel, then it's going to be mutter. The Shmir Shabbos Hilchos applies this in Perek Yud Beis, Sif Chaf Aleph, in your booklet, and he says as follows, Mutl nagev esakelim arutuvim v'magevet hamiyuchedet v'afil mutl nagev kelim rabu magevet achat v'ein choshim she magevet tiratev yoter amidu v'yolde estita karei im tia rutuva midai yachlifenu b'acheres v'lav hachi. Basically, what the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa does is he pulls a fast one over here. He takes the Mishnah Berurah Svara and he just expands it to the modern household. In other words, he says, in the Mishnah Berurah, the Eitzah was, you could switch from one side to the next. Says the Shmir Shabbos, what would happen in our homes today? If the towel would get too wet, we would put that in the laundry and we'd take another towel. So that he basically is extending the Mishnah Berurah Svara and therefore drying with towels today, according to Shmir Shabbos Tilchasa, would be entirely motor. Okay, next Chashash Midrabanan. Here we have, let's go all the way to Shin Aleph. These are halachos that come up and are not well known, so I figured let's hop around for Xeris up to Kibbutz. If you take a look in Simin Shin Aleph, Sif Mem Hei, we have the Xera of Maris Ayin by Kibbutz. That here we have a very, very interesting shash. It's based on a Gemara. A Mishnah and Gemara. Gemara and Kuf Mem Vav on the base talks about Mishnah Shokela B'mayim. So the Mishnah tells us at the end of Kuf Mem Vav Beis, Mishnah Shasher Kel B'Mayim B'Derech Mahalef B'Hem V'Ein Achoshish. The halacha is that if you're going along the way and your garments are getting wet, like the case that we spoke about previously, someone who goes to visit his Rebbe and walks in the river, so then there's no problem. Higiu L'Chatzar Achitzona, when he gets to the outer courtyard, Shokhan Bechama Avalo Kenegadon. He's allowed to hang them on a clothesline, but only in the outer courtyard and not in front of people. So the Gemara comments that L'Chura, this is a Machlokis Kanoim. The Gemara says on the bottom line, Kuf Mem Vav on the base, that Rabbi Elazar and Shimon are Osrin. They say, even if it's in your outer courtyard, it's going to be Osir. What's this Machlokis? The famous issue of Maris Ayin B'Chadre Chadarim. Whether it's Mutter or Osir, is this Gemara, Kuf Mem Vav on the base. And this is Rashi's interpretation on Samach Heyam and Aleph. If you take a look on Rashi, on the top of Samach Heyam and Aleph, Rashi interprets that the chshash over there is the man damar holds that's aser is because marisayin is aser even bechadre chadarim. So mirtz Hashem, next year when we discuss marisayin by basar bechalav, so we'll discuss a lot. The longest Rav Miller Shlita has a beautiful shir that he would say over from Mizam and Nechemia. Last time we said last year it was with Shlita. So he has a beautiful mahalach in Bechadre Chadar, Mirtz Hashem. We'll get to that. What's the difference Bechadre Chadar? Why? When do you make Gzer Bechadre Chadar? When is their Chshad? When is their Marisayin? When Bechadre Chadar? Did they make the Gzer? When did they not? I'll just point out to you, in terms of Lahalacha, clearly the Mechadar is Machmir. In Shin Aleph Mem Hei, the halacha is Ba'afilu Bechadre Chadar She'en Sham Rom Asur. And the Beis Yosef already develops that most of the poskim passing like the Manda Omar, who holds that's the Shita of Yehuda Merav, that's us, or even the Chadre Chadarim. What people don't know is a Tshuvas HaRajba, which is Mufur Shalacha. That is, the Tshuvas HaRajba says that this Iser of hanging laundry is only on Shabbos itself. But if you hung it on Erev Shabbos, it's Mutter. So therefore, there's no problem, mi'ikra d'dina, for a person to leave out their laundry hanging on Erev Shabbos onto Shabbos, because what's usher to do is only to hang the laundry on Shabbos itself. But, b'chadre chadarim, it is going to be usher. B'chadre chadarim is going to be a problem. So, that is true by Marisayin. However, this is only when the chshash is a chshash d'oraisa. That's how the Pisrei Tshuva, I have it in your booklet, in terms of Halach Lamaisa, in Pezayin Yud, in Pisrei Tshuva, in Yardea Pezayin Yud, Pisrei Tshuva quotes, and Emir Tashem next year will give the lumdus for it, that the only time we're machner of a maris ayin b'chadre chadarin is by an iser d'oraisa. The hainu that in this case, this is Halacha Rabosai, that if you come in on Shabbos and your raincoat is dripping wet, so then you're not supposed to hang it in a place that you normally would hang to dry, even if you have your own personal bathroom, because that would be something that looks like kibbutz, assuming it's a material that will be subject to kibbutz, a raincoat that has a cloth, it will be plastic, maybe it would not be something that would be kibbutz, but something that a cloth raincoat would be problematic. So then, in such a case, one should not hang it in a place that could be construed as a place that you would hang for kibbutz. In other words, if you washed your raincoat in the bathroom, so then in such a case, you would hang the raincoat in the bathroom. So therefore, there's a chshash of kibbutz. But that does not apply where the gzeira is a chshash of the derabbanan. So if any time the material is a material that would only be an Iser Derabbanan to do kibbutz on, for example, or and so on, then in such a case we're Mekel. Why do I say we're Mekel? That's this Pisrei Tshuva, the next thing in your booklet, in Pezayin Yud. The Pisrei Tshuva says that even though the halach is that the Ramah says that you're not allowed to drink almond milk at the same table with meat, because people might think that the almond milk is cow milk, so then that's Aser. And that will be aser even the chadre chadarim. That's what the Ramah says over there. Says the Tisrei Tshuva, that doesn't apply to almond milk with chicken. Because by chicken, we don't make the gzer. What's the longest behind that? That in Mirtz Hashem we'll discuss down the line. So the poskim then begin the cheshbon. We're running out of time. But you'll see some of it in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that I photocopied for you. The poskim begin to cheshbon that those begadim that you would do shifshuf on when you do kibbutz, so then in such a case, those begadim, you can't hang them in your bathroom. If, however, it was a beged that wouldn't be subject to an iser d'oraisa, so then it would only be asam in the rabbanan, so then in such a case, you'd be allowed to hang it in the bathroom. There's someone... Yeah, okay, we'll stop there.
Just based on this, if I have a hand towel in the bathroom and it gets wet from drying my hands, how am I allowed to then hang it up back on the hook? Meaning it looks like it just dragged.
That's where it goes.
Exactly, that's the issue.
That's where it always is, not for cubist stuff.
How do you know that? I'm saying, like,
you hang how, a towel. How are you allowed to hang a towel?
Meaning if I have a towel that's wet in the bathroom, where it's a right. normal spot, that we're calling the bathroom a normal spot where does someone dry something for kibbutz,
right. Right.
How could I hang the towel up in the bathroom? People might think
this is not me.
No,
where do you hang it? There's two places where people hang
it's
it.
Hanging
wait, let me finish.
Meaning if you hang it on the hook.
Let's say you have a handle, right, where you leave the towels. So then, in such a case, then that's not where people hang it. People hang it over the shower.
Or people hang it on the bar outside the shower door, let's call it. And people also keep
where
it.
Where they would hang it, ain't a problem. I think it depends. It depends where. So take a look at Shri Shabbos Kilchasa again. If you take a look, he specifically says, Yud. Just to give the example. I saw somewhere here, he says, the. He says specifically the shower. He says somewhere, particularly the shower, where people hang things. And somewhere the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa says it that would be a problem. But in a Hanami, you're right. If it's a place where people normally don't hang things after they wash them, then it would not apply.
But the regular makom would be fine.
The regular makom would be fine.
Even if it's soaked.
Yes, the regular makom would be fine.
Right. And then practically, I mean, if I'm someone walking out, you're in your suit, you know it's going to rain, you get soaked by the time you come home, you're in your suit.
Right.
Where could we hang up? What would be considered, like on the chair?
So what I recommend is, if you're not afraid about the other stuff in the coat, let's talk about coat. If you're not afraid about the other stuff in the closet getting moldy because of your coat, is just to hang the coat in the, or to hang the coat on a doorknob. So people generally, after they wash their clothing, don't hang their clothing on the doorknob. So then in such a case, that would be...
The back of a chair might be too much of a spot, but...
Depends. Yeah. It's a little bit... These become a little bit judgment calls. Yeah?
So just to clarify, so we're saying that as long as it's not a muckle that you normally hang something after kibbutz, it's fine?
It's fine. Right. So
that's most places, though.
Yeah. Ain't nothing happening. Just be
really
careful
just
like
now. Laundry room door.
Laundry room the, and the clothesline... And the bathroom, if many people will hang a wet raincoat in the bathroom. So the bathroom would
if
be...
If not for kibbutz.
You don't do that for kibbutz. You come in from outside.
Right, in a chanami. I think someone quoted to me that svara from Rav Willig. That Rav Willig held that it was... Last time we learned, someone told me, again, but it's not. I didn't hear it from him, so it has to be taken with a big grain of salt. But there was Willig held that it was mutter to hang the coats in the bathroom. Could very well have been that svara that you just said. Yeah.
For the tshuvas and rashba?
Yes.
If it's before Shabbos, you can do it even in a public place, not just chadrei chadarim.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. V'lo also el shatlam b'shabbos, al shatlam b'erev Shabbos, ein lo chayim l'salkam b'shabbos, says the Mishnah Brura, afilu ein shtuchim neged ha'am. Mefurish, that would be mutter. Yes. By the way, since you mentioned that, the Kaf HaChayim in Sifkatan Reish Samach just says beautifully, based on this, Chuvas HaRashba, what would happen if someone made a mistake? Let's say someone in your family didn't know this halacha, and they hung up the raincoat on a clothesline. Okay? So do you have to take it down? So generally, the way we've been taught by Rosh Shechter, that all xeros are an iser matzah, b'chura, you'd have to remove the matzah. But here, according to Geshmak, according to Chulas Haraj, what we learned that the xera itself is the maisa tliya, is not the matzah of tliya. And therefore, I would imagine Rosh Shechter would agree with this. You just have to formulate, according to Chulas Haraj, this would be an exception to the way xeros work. Because the xera here is the xera maisa tliya. You might agree with this Kappa Chaim. In such a case, you'd be able to take it down. Okay, the Siyata of the Shmaya. I think you can go through the Shmur Shabbos Dilchasa on your own. I think everything that's there we alluded to, the Siyata of the Shmaya. Let's go, since we started Yud Aleph, let me just share with you one fun discussion that emerges. This is just like a Gishmaka Maramakom in terms of a common Shaila that we learn in Sif Yud Aleph, that if your hands are dirty, you're allowed to wipe on the back of the tail of an animal, but you're not allowed to wipe it on the back of a, you're not allowed to wipe it on a towel. So who would have thought that this would be, this, we're not wiping our hands on the back of tails of an animal. But who would have thought that this halacha would have profound, profound import in terms of today and pets? Because the halacha is an iltas muktzah, this is really muktzah, But let's do it now because it's just staring us in the face. Allah is a machlokes rishonim whether you're allowed to coddle an animal along if what Rav Nevinzal refers to as tiltul b'miktzas. And we're machmir, it's a first in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to. Okay, so therefore you're not allowed to pet an animal, even though the animal is also moving along, because tiltul b'miktzas is going to be aser. The fascinating question is that many people ask rabbis, is that am I allowed to touch the hair of the animal? Am I allowed to pet the hair of the animal? So some point to this Be'er Halacha, on our Halacha. So the Be'er Halacha Mekantla Bezul Betit, his body, quotes at the Tosa Shabbos, that's bothered. What about Total Mukza? How were you able to be matir to wipe your hands on the tail of the animal? What about Total Mukza? Say, and therefore, the Tosa Shabbos is a wild ukimta. He says that we're not talking about a live tail. We're talking about the hair of a tail that came off. And it could very well be that in those days they used the tail of an animal to wipe their hands. That could be. It's quite a ukimta. It's not the fact.
No chashash kibus.
No chashash kibus. Yeah, that was it, right?
No, I'm saying that's a ukimta.
Okay. But, I mean, normally when you say tail, you don't think of a tail that's off of the air. It's off the animal. I know there's something called pin the tail on a donkey, but
the tail of a horse.
It's a new halacha. It's like a Purim spiel. A Purim pin the tail on a donkey would be a Purim Torah on Hilchos Shabbos. So all right, Rebelli, you think it's not such an akimta. All right. So the Be'er Halacha di Rav Asel Mekancha says Lami is daiti, but he says that is difficult, and he says Efshar delo asu rak gufan de ba'alei chayim velo b'sa'aran. He says maybe the Yisr of Tiltul Mukza is only on the Seyar, is only on the behemoth itself, and not on the Seyar. It's not considered Mukza. So some point this Be'er Halacha as it being Mutter. Oh my goodness. I'm now looking at my new edition, Rav Nevinzal's long Ha'ara. I discussed this with him 3 weeks ago, so I'll need to process. But Rav Nevinzal told me that this, he felt, was a tremendous chiddush, this ukimta of the Be'er Halacha. And, the only tzad that he thought that maybe you could make those tiltul mikzas, but I asked him that tiltul mikzas is aser mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, so he agreed. It just dawned on me as I was learning it this time, and I went over to the Sanhedrin Chevra. We have a Charusa, Chaim, and Eitan learning Sanhedrin together. So it dawned on me that they found the Gemara for me. I couldn't remember exactly where it was, but I remember there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin about how you look at hair. Do you look at hair as considered part of the person or not? So that's a sugya of Seir HaOmed LiGazez. The Gemara there is talking about whether you assess an Eved also with his hair, that he needs, if he needs to get a haircut, whether it's considered part of him or not. So it would seem to me from the Pashtus and the Gemara and Sanhedrin to Asvav, and there's also a discussion, I recall, in the Poskim about whether hair of a mace is considered part of the mace itself, or is it considered separate. And from the simple reading of the Gemara, it's only Seir HaOmed LiGazez is considered possibly separate. But the Mashmos is that the regular hair is considered part. So I thought that the Ber Halachas Chiddush needs to be reassessed based on that Gemara that Eitan Shomi is in Tezvav Amin Aleph. It would seem to me that the Pashtus is that the Seir, in many places in Shas, that the Seir is included as part of the being, and therefore is a tremendous chiddush. So as Rav himself told me, to rely on this bare halacha. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they make a chiluk between the tail of an animal and the body itself? Yeah,
totally. In other words, that even the bare halacha only said in regards to the tail. So here, listen to Lashon. Is that what you want to say?
Yeah.
So wait a second, Rav Avi. Wait a second. Let's read the Lashon of Ber Halacha. See how it fits. The last line: Efshar delo asu rak gufan de bale chayim velo b'sa'ar an shul mechor b'lehem. So I hear your terrors. You could say what you said in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ber Halacha actually wrote it even more mechudash, which you're saying might be more of a chiddush.
Okay.
So you don't have, you lose the Chavetz Chaim, actually you have making this chiluk. And I'm questioning that the Chavetz Chaim's chiddush seems to be a little bit mechudash, unless you're mechalik between a behema and a person, etc. Because the Sugi in Sanhedrin was not talking about a behema. The Sugi in Sanhedrin was talking about the hair of a person that's omed ligozes. What if you're talking about a poodle that needs a haircut, then maybe in such a case, then maybe... Maybe the Gemara in Sanhedrin will help you in such a case, but otherwise, no.
As an extension also, why are we talking about a tail in general? Why is that the example that we're talking about?
I would imagine because what most people used were horses, and the best thing to dry your hands on a horse was its tail. I would imagine that's...
It makes sense that for Tosfos, if the tail falls off, no other part of the animal would fall off so easily.
But what the Tosfos Shabbos had said.
So Kimta, that
right. That was talking about that was not on the...
It makes sense when it's not on the tail.
Ulai.
Feet don't fall off so easily.
Ulai. All right, Rabbi Yisai, we Tom Vinishlan. I thought we would do cheerful topics today. And Siyat Nishmai, we finished Siman Shin Beis. And now we have Chazar for a week. And Yirtz Hashem... your choice whether you want the thing on Thursday or the thing on Monday. Most people thought